very good Tuesday. Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news headlines, and I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
The DJ Foray Company is announcing a rollout of Table Grape University. The first Table Grape University is designed to help educate store-level produce teams on how California table grapes are grown. For 50 years now, they've been fortunate enough to be able to provide California table grapes to all points across the globe. They've discussed how they might better serve the produce community that has provided so much to their company. After much discussion, they determined a best way forward would be to develop a program to help educate folks on the front line of retail on how the grapes they stock every day are grown. It's one thing to see a brand on a box. It's another thing to entirely be able to relate to a customer what goes into raising that box of grapes. What better way to accomplish that task than to develop an educational platform to teach how grapes are grown? That according to Mike Foray, president of DJ Foray. Table Grape University will use a series of videos as a teaching tool. The videos will teach store-level produce department team members the various stages associated with the agricultural processes involved in growing table grapes. That according to Ray England, vice president of marketing. Each video will run for a specified time period and be followed by a short test. Upon the successful completion of the course, each graduate will have their name listed on their website, be celebrated on their social media platforms, and receive a certificate of completion. The school year has already begun. They look forward to graduating their charter class. The Napa County Board of Supervisors has sided with an environmental organization that opposed the development of a hillside vineyard near Angwin, citing a host of environmental concerns. The board voted 3-2 to tentatively uphold an appeal by the Center for Biological Diversity, a nonprofit organization that has challenged other projects in Napa County. The Board of Supervisors is scheduled to take a final vote on the Lake Colleen Vineyard project on November 7th. Lake Colleen's owners, Kathleen and Dave DeSarius, sought to develop about 21 acres of new vineyards on 88 acres that they own off Cold Springs Road near Angwin. The Center for Biological Diversity filed its appeal in April shortly after Napa County's Planning Department approved the vineyard's erosion control plan, saying the project complied with state and county rules. The environmental organization argued the project's environmental review was deficient under California's environmental law. The environmental impact report, the nonprofit said in its appeal, failed to adequately portray and analyze the project's impacts on special status species and sensitive habitats, according to the appeal. The environmental impact report, the center said, also failed to analyze the project's wildlife impacts, noting that vineyards are not as efficient to stop wildfires as touted. Initially a conventional vegetable marketing company started in the late 70s, Central West Produce has transformed and expanded over the years to become a full-service grower-shipper of both conventional and organic strawberries, blueberries, raspberries, and blackberries. Based in Santa Maria, California, Central West is a family operation founded in 1979 by Jack Gresser that is now owned and managed by his sons Brian Gresser and Danny Gresser. CWP began selling strawberries for independent growers in the Oxnard and Santa Maria Valleys back in the 1980s. According to Central West Director of International Business, Daniel Waters. He said they then started farming their own entities and selling their own family-grown strawberries in the late 80s and early 90s. In response to consumer demand, Waters says Central West Produce decided to plant a small amount of organic strawberry acreage in the late 90s in Santa Maria. Since then, the company has grown its organic strawberry program significantly and now offers a fruit year-round, farming its own acreage in California and Florida, as well as working with partners partner growers in central Mexico and Baja California. The core business has been strawberries, and they've seen their customers are now wanting the Central West brand all year round, according to Waters. He said they support this program by supplying from six different growing regions to give continuity in supply. In 2014, CWP expanded into organic blueberries, later followed by conventional blueberries, as well as both conventional and organic blackberries and raspberries. Waters says Central West organic berries can be found in supermarkets and other retailers throughout the U.S. and Canada. To satisfy consumer demand, the company offers multiple pack size options, 1 and 2 pound for organic strawberries, 6 ounce for pints, and 18 ounce for organic blueberries, 6 ounces for both organic raspberries and blackberries. All of the company's berries are packed under the Central West label. Looking ahead, Central West sees opportunity for significant growth in organics as consumers continue to enjoy organic fruit and the benefits that come from this for themselves and the environment. The business magazine, Inc., has named Los Angeles-based Produce Pay in the top half of this year's Inc. 5000, an annual list of the fastest-growing private companies in the U.S. Produce Pay also ranks number 17 in the environmental services category, according to a news release. The ranking provides a data-driven analysis of companies within the economy's most dynamic segment, its independent entrepreneurial businesses, according to the release. Produce Pay joins the likes of Facebook, Chobani, Under Armour, Microsoft, and more. The Inc. 500 class of 2023 represents companies that have driven rapid revenue growth while navigating inflationary pressure, the rising cost of capital, and persistent hiring challenges. Among this year's 500 companies, the average median three-year revenue growth rate ticked up to an astonishing 2,238%. In all this year's Inc. 500 companies have added over 1,187,000 jobs to the economy over the past 3 years. For complete results of the Inc. 500, including company profiles and an interactive database that can be sorted by industry, location, and other criteria, go to inc.com/Inc. 500. As summer vacation ends for many families, California-based B-Sweet Citrus is offering several citrus varieties to help parents transition to the back-to-school season, according to a news release. Citrus fruits are incredibly versatile, and many of their varieties are perfect for work, school, sports, practices, and more. That according to B-Sweet Citrus Director of Communications, Monique Mueller. Through the company's offshore program, B-Sweet Citrus has maintained a steady supply of oranges, mandarins, and lemons for its customers throughout the summer months to help families prepare for back-to-school season. The company is also sponsoring the Healthy Schools Project back-to-school campaign for the 8th consecutive year. The back-to-school season can be a stressful and exciting time for parents and children, and they are grateful that they have built an audience that looks to them for healthy recipes and parenting tips to help them through this time and beyond. That according to Healthy Family Project Senior Digital Marketing Manager Tracy Shaw. The Healthy Family Project's back-to-school campaign provides families and educators with digital resources highlighting the importance of fresh produce and a healthy diet. Additionally, the campaign provides $16,000 to the International Fresh Produce Association's Foundation for Fresh Produce to increase children's accessibility to fresh fruits and vegetables in schools, according to the release.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
A novel solution for management of Argentine ants in citrus groves has been in the works for a few years now, and researchers in California are finally at the point in the process of seeking product registration. The chemical solution, one that comes in response to changes in chlorpyrifos regulations in the state, comes in the form of hydrogel beads, which contain small concentrations of pesticides dispersed under trees and groves where most ant foraging takes place. According to Ivan Milosavljevic, IPM entomologist for Citrus Research Board and a project collaborator, sugar-feeding worker ants drink the pesticide-containing water from the biodegradable beads and bring it back to the nest and queen, where the chemical becomes more widely dispersed and colonies in turn collapse.
This is what we want, and we want a very small amount of pesticides because we do not want to kill the workers right away, right? We do not want to kill because if we kill them, they will not get that poison to the queen. So that's why this we need a very low rate of pesticide that can be transmitted from mouth to mouth eventually to the queens. And thymotoxin was perfect, and it has shown some very good results. However, these bait stations are very costly, especially per acre basis on a large scale production or treatment management. And they will eventually, they can spill over and that can create a whole other issue and problems with the growers. So basically we have developed a system that hasn't been registered yet. I have to make a note on that, but we're trying to prove make a proof of concept here by developing different chemistries and what can go inside these beads, as we mentioned them in the beginning, which are a form of a miniature bait stations that you can deploy on the ground. And basically they work on the same principle as the bait stations. You infuse them with a sugary water and a very small amount of pesticide. One of them, again, was thymotoxin. So there are different types of these beads that have been developed over time. One of them is made of algae, and we call them, and these are the beads that I work with during my tenure at UCR, and they are called the biodegradable hydrogel beads. On the other side, you have also the hydrogel beads that are called the polyacrylamide hydrogel beads that you can buy on Amazon, for example, the beads that kids use or you use in your pots to grow like a Miracle-Gro, right? The beads, they're made of different polyacrylamide types of polyacrylamide, but some of them are very sustainable and they are not as bad for the environment. So this is another group that has worked with these beads. But we're trying to get all of these data on efficacy of different products for the Argentine ants, for other ant species that are present, for example, in the Central Valley. There are also sugar feeding ants like the gray field ant or the pyramid ant. They're also doing the same service for these pests in the Central Valley, for example. So we're trying to collect all these data against the Argentine ants and the other ant species and different pest species as well. And what we have found is that thymotoxin is the golden standard. It's very effective and it will kill most of the queens and it will solve your problems inside the beads, inside the bait stations, everywhere.
Currently, there is no chemical growers can legally use to control Argentine ants in citrus groves. So the development would be impactful for pest management and biological preservation efforts, as well as be a step toward creating an overall integrated pest management program. This process, however, is complicated and there are still unknowns as far as monitoring and thresholds go.
That can also go into the IPM programs for different pests. For example, the Asian citrus psyllid ant control can be one of the management tactics for mealybugs as well. This is the novel concept that we're trying to incorporate into these different programs, but at the same time to make the case for example, the Argentine ant IPM of, okay, we have developed this chemical control. Now we have to develop the thresholds for these Argentine ants because those are unknown, for example, as well as the monitoring programs or monitoring tools that we can implement that will go into this program for Argentine ants that will basically, they will help us to develop these thresholds and how can we more effectively control the ants in a form of an IPM, of course. So all of these are still unknown. This is the first step towards the development of IPM for Argentine ants, and it also can go into an existing programs for ACP, mealybugs, scales, whatever we have already in citrus. But definitely, I think it will decrease the pesticide use, for example, for these different pests, because it will be targeting something that is interfering with our biocontrol efforts. And previous studies have shown, for example, in cases that some of these pests can be effectively controlled with a biocontrol program. So you won't need the chemicals to control them. You will need less, for example. The whole IPM will be more comprehensive.
As for now, Milo Savljevic and researchers are focused on achieving registration for legal use of the hydrogel beads in commercial settings, from which integrated pest management programs will proceed with development.
Whatever type of beads that the regulatory agencies seem to be interested in and the companies, I think we should go for that. And that should be the primary focus right now for the management of ants.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Jahlstrom.
This segment was sponsored by Polymer Ag, makers of Anti-Stress 550, the climate stress solution. Find out more at polymerag.com.
Farm Credit Association, American Ag Credit, rural banking partner CoBank, and the Federal Agricultural Mortgage Corporation, also known as Farmer Mac, are donating $40,000 to Maui Food Bank to help aid during the devastating wildfires that are wreaking havoc in Hawaii. Ag Credit CEO Kurt Hundent says that when natural disasters impact the communities in which they live and work, they stand ready to support. CoBank's Brenda Frank adds a contribution to the Maui Food Bank is intended to address the immediate needs and reduce suffering of those impacted by the wildfires in Maui. Farm Credit has had a presence in Hawaii for over 50 years. The association has been a strong provider of financial support to Hawaiian farmers and ranchers. Meanwhile, President Joe Biden says he intends to ensure that people in the state have everything they need to recover. Efforts continue to improve both the definition of agricultural literacy among the public as well as the basic understanding of agriculture. USA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
How might one define agricultural literacy? For that matter, how many people in our country are ag literate? First, a possible definition. Make it three. Provided by North Carolina A&T University professor Kathleen Leong. First,
the knowledge of agriculture in general, whether it's different subjects like a crop, animal, or about different ways of doing agriculture like a conservation practice, high tunnel operations, that sort of thing.
Next, the understanding of how agriculture is embedded in broad, different aspects of life.
Agriculture itself has different disciplines relating to bioenergy, biology, chemistry, economics, business, and food safety, and nutrition, health, family, everything is a part of the general agricultural umbrella. So understanding how agriculture in different subjects and in different ways linking back to our lives.
Then there is the education aspect of teaching agriculture to the public at large.
To help people to use agriculture in general to enhance our own livelihood, to work within our own community, and then to help families and individuals to improve their opportunities. There are many, many ways that agriculture could embed it in different job opportunities and different skill sets training.
So when it comes to the degree of agricultural literacy in the U.S., Leong says from her perspective, and others,
I notice a lot of folks, whether it's young or old, in this generation, they are further removed from the rural communities, from the agriculture operations. A lot of young people don't quite understand how different type of crops grow, how different type of animals we raise them on the farm, what kind of challenges that farmers have to deal with.
Leong is among those using methods to improve agricultural literacy, doing so through educating teachers about the farm and the potential opportunities in agriculture. That's being done through a curriculum supported by a USDA grant. More about that in a future program. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The U.S. Trade Representative's Office welcomed a report from the World Trade Organization calling U.S. steel and aluminum tariffs justified for security reasons. The WTO report recognized that U.S. Section 232 actions on steel and aluminum are security measures and that China illegally retaliated with sham safeguard tariffs. The panel rejected China's argument that the U.S. Section 232 actions are safeguard measures that may be rebalanced under WTO rules. However, officials from China called on the U.S. to lift the tariffs imposed on Chinese products following the report. China's Commerce Ministry claims the root of the cause lies in the unilateralist and protectionist nature of the United States. China maintains that its actions are a legitimate move to safeguard its legitimate rights and interests. Tariffs imposed on American agricultural exports in retaliation for Section 232 tariffs on steel and aluminum imports led to an overall $27 billion reduction in U.S. ag exports from mid-2018 to the end of 2019. Members of the House Agriculture Committee recently held a Farm Bill listening session in Missouri. Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson reports several common themes from farmers and ranchers.
Yeah, I think one of the things that is kind of interesting and makes a lot of sense is some type of domestic promotion program for hardwoods. You know, we do great programs with foreign market development and market access program for foreign trade and looking for markets. Also heard consistently, we need to do a better job investing in that. Those are at the same level as when they were created. If I could find the money, and it's a matter of finding money and moving it around.
Increasing reference prices for commodities is another priority for farmers.
Especially because of inflation and the margin, you know, reference prices today for many of the commodities are not really in a position to be helpful. But I do think the interesting concept of looking at domestic markets and what can we do more to promote those domestic markets. Obviously, that's market access, whether it's domestic or foreign, is incredibly important for our farmers and ranchers.
The House Ag Committee is expected to release the draft 2023 Farm Bill in September.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.